I noticed that all of the readings today talk about food. So some of you may have come here thinking that you're going to have a big meal. But I talked to Father Tim and he said, we're not cooking for you today. Isaiah invites all who hunger and thirst to come to the Lord and to delight in rich fare. Jesus feeds over 5,000 people, and he does so with such lavish portions that there's 12 wicker baskets left over. But if we only think about today's readings in terms of God meeting our physical needs, I think we're missing something. I think that there's something more relational going on in these readings. I think that we can look at these readings in terms of our own brokenness, our own shortcomings, and we can see how God is able to work with our own shortcomings and bring about something that's not only good, but something that's overflowing with goodness. You see, the gospel reading today begins with Jesus having just received the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been executed. So I imagine that upon receiving this news, Jesus was feeling a little downhearted. He was feeling weak and broken. Yet his brokenness did not prevent him from being able to minister to the large crowds that were following him. Instead, his brokenness moved him to pity for the crowds and allowed him to work miracles, curing their sick. Later in the same gospel story, we see another example of brokenness. The apostles are told to feed the large crowd, but they find themselves deficient. They only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, hardly enough to feed this huge crowd that's gathered. Yet, when they bring this deficiency before the Lord, it ceases to become a deficiency, and it becomes an overabundance. Christ is able to transform that deficiency into an abundance. And in the first reading today, we hear yet another story of brokenness. The Lord is calling out to those who are hungry and to those who are thirsty. And if we think about this, who is more broken in our society than those who are unable to meet their physical needs, their bodily needs of food and water? And he instructs these people to come to him so that they may eat well. And again, we see God transforming a deficiency into a superabundance. And it's important to notice that God doesn't just promise to meet their bodily needs. He promises to give them the best food possible, to delight in rich fare, he says. So he's not offering yesterday's leftovers. He's offering filet mignon and fresh raspberry torte for dessert. All of these speak to a way in which God can work miracles with and for us, despite the fact that we're broken. This gospel challenges us to have faith that our own brokenness does not prevent God from being able to use us as instruments of grace. Each one of us here today in this church is broken in some way, but we can have God use our own brokenness to make us instruments of grace. Certainly our church is broken. We don't need to look any further than the recent sex abuse scandal for evidence of this. But God can use the brokenness of the church to use the church as an instrument of his grace. You see, we even know that the physical body of Christ himself was broken on the cross. And yet, it was through the breaking of that body of Christ that our salvation is made possible. Our brokenness, in other words, doesn't separate us from God's being able to use us as instruments. It doesn't separate us from God in any way. And in fact, St. Paul is quite clear about this in the second reading today. He says that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. No matter how broken we are, if we bring our brokenness before the Lord, he can work with that brokenness and transform it into an abundance of grace. You know, one way in which we see this done every week is here in the Eucharist. And today's gospel passage foreshadows the Eucharist. And it sure foreshadows the power that the Eucharist has. I don't know if you noticed, but the words that Jesus used in this gospel, or the words in this gospel, were that Jesus took the food that was put before him. He blessed it. He broke the loaves of bread, and he gave it to the apostles, who in turn gave it to the crowds. These same words, take, bless, break, and give, are the same words that Father Tim will say in a few minutes as he consecrates the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. You know, one of the things that I've always found interesting, though, about this is that when the priest at Mass talks about breaking the bread, he's always holding up a whole host, and he doesn't break it at that point. And I always wondered why that was, because there's so many things in the Mass that are symbolic, and I always wondered, why doesn't he break it at that moment? And as I thought about that in light of these readings and reflected on it, what I realized is when it is broken, it's after the consecration. So what we see at Mass is we see the body of Christ being broken right in front of our eyes. And what we learn is that despite the fact that this body is broken, it's got great power. It's a great source of eternal grace for us. In other words, that broken body of Christ is consumed by us, and when we do that, we receive God into our very body as a source of grace. And when we receive him, we don't only enter into communion with each other, who is also receiving this body of Christ, but we enter into communion with God himself. So when we receive the Eucharist, we should do so with great joy, because when we receive God into our brokenness, we do so with a faith, we do so with confidence that he can work with our human deficiencies in such a way that he can take our mere 5 loaves and 2 fish worth of talents and gifts and turn them into a superabundance that will feed thousands.